yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this, I would say, feel-good Friday night edition of Overtime. But based off of the sentiments of everyone around the DMV, it was a messy, sad, drama-filled day last night in our nation's capital. From Kevin Willard to the Caps losing their second in a row to the bullpen blues of the Washington Nationals. It feels like, and dare I not omit the Wizards, giving up 162 points last night. It was interesting, man. It feels like to me right now the state of DC sports here in the spring of 2025 is messy. That's how I would describe it. We'll get to it all here throughout the next couple of hours. I'll obviously spend plenty of time on Kevin Willard and the Maryland Terrapins. Just a little teaser for you. I am not as angry at Kevin Willard as the rest of the DMV seems to be. We have to understand that this is a dog-eat-dog world, man. The current landscape of college athletics. It is a dog-eat-dog world, and all the head coaches are wearing bacon pants. So,
Bacon pants?
Bacon pants. Because everyone's at each other's neck. I can't blame. And I was listening to B. Mitchell Finley earlier today with Toby and JP, and JP was, you know, talking about how he spoke to folks in College Park yesterday and that Kevin Willard had been, you know, apparently talking to the folks from Villanova for weeks. I think his agent probably had been talking to folks, and I understand it. If you understand that the writing is on the wall for the current AD that was in place, if you understand that, man, maybe Maryland is not willing to commit the resources I need for this program to be where I want to get it to, then you understand things from Kevin Willard's perspective. We'll get to that hot and heavy in the 7 o'clock hour. A lot to get to here tonight. I mentioned the Wizards giving up 162 points. Real quickly on that, don't really care. Don't really care at all. If you've watched this group since February the 1st, how can you be upset at anything that you've seen? For a draft class that most people considered weak and didn't have a lot of talent, Wizards look like they have three of the five best players in the damn class. So be excited about the Washington Wizards. We'll talk about them in the 8 o'clock hour. The ESPN dropped their win totals for this year in the National Football League. We'll get to that. I was on Wednesday night, and I didn't get the chance to get to Stephen A. Smith versus LeBron James, and I have just been so disgusted by everything that Stephen A. Smith has shown about himself during this back-and-forth spat. And LeBron's not free of blame either. Just a messy situation. It's fitting, because yesterday was a messy day here in our nation's capital. Terps get boat raced in the second half of the Sweet 16 with Willard's job security in question. And then the bullpen blues of the Washington Nationals, man, they spoil an elite ace type of performance from Mackenzie Gore. Six innings pitched, 13 Ks, quite literally a historic afternoon for Mackenzie Gore. He joined Bob Gibson, who did this back in 1967. The only pitchers in the modern era to strike out 13, walk none, and give up zero runs during an opening day performance. It was absolutely masterful. And I think what yesterday was, if you're a Nats fan, it was getting your whistle wet. Because, see, all of the conversation coming out of spring training, leading into spring training, whether anyone wants to believe it or not, the Nats believe that they are ready to take that next pivotal step when it comes to their long-term rebuild. And maybe, as you saw yesterday, compete with the top three teams in the NL East. Last night, yesterday against Philadelphia, what you saw from this group was a group that maybe they are ready to take the next step. Think about all of the revelations we had during the spring that you kind of saw come to fruition yesterday. K-Bear Ruiz, to me, is the number one guy I want to talk about here. Comes into spring training 15, 17 pounds lighter, had a good spring, and you saw what we're hoping to see from K-Bear Ruiz in 2025, a bounce-back season. Throughout Kyle Schwarber in the second, singled in the third, took Zach Wheeler deep in the fifth to give the Nats a 1-0 lead. Like, that's the good stuff that you want to see. He had two of the Nats' five hits yesterday. K-Bear Ruiz, for all the folks that were ready to write him off. But I think what yesterday showed you against a very, very good Philadelphia team is that, man, you're closer maybe than what people are giving you credit for. And I tread lightly when I say that. I remember the other night sitting here with Toby, I dropped the dime, and I don't know if it was spicy or not, but like it's how I feel. I think that in terms of like the rebuilds that we have going on here locally, and I'll put the Commanders to the side for a second. I'm really talking about the Wizards and the Nationals. I think there's an argument to be made that the Wizards may actually be closer to competing for a postseason spot when you consider the hurdles that the Nats are going to have to overcome. But yesterday shows you, if you're going to get that type of an outing out of Mackenzie Gore, and I get it, the bullpen, you know, played spoils last night, and it wasn't fun to watch. They rallied, though, man. You saw this team fight. You got extra innings on opening day against a damn good Philadelphia Phillies team. So, like, I think there's so much to be excited about, but, like, we mentioned the revelations coming out of the spring. K-Bear Ruiz, rave reviews coming out of the spring. James Wood, rave reviews coming out of the spring. The bad thing coming out of the spring was the bullpen, though. And that ultimately was the issue yesterday. Four of the Nats' five relievers gave up a total of seven runs and four innings of work. For a group that already looked like a potential weakness coming out of spring training, they proved it yesterday. But that's okay. That's okay. See, to me, like, I get what the messaging is coming out of their organization. From Dylan Cruz to Davey Martinez, everybody you talk to, they want to compete this year. They think they're ready to compete this year. I think yesterday shows you why you're not ready to compete. And I think you'll see. We'll see what else the rest of the rotation has to give you, right? You saw really good spurts of play last year and pitching out of Jake Irvin. What will you get this year? Will it be more consistent? Will it be something that's sustainable? For as great as Mackenzie Gore's outing was, will it be something that is sustainable? That's the big question. But if you watched yesterday, I mean, this Phillies lineup is loaded. They struggled to get a hit on the guy. I mean, it was wheeling, dealing, shoving, whatever you want to call it, at its finest yesterday from Mackenzie Gore. I was super impressed to see it. Obviously, the talk, though, coming out of yesterday is the bullpen, and we'll see, you know, how things fare with that bunch as we roll throughout the season. Kyle Finnegan did a really good job getting out of the jam that he was in the ninth. I mean, look, it ain't going to be perfect, right? I think with a full season of James Wood, a full season of Dylan Cruz, another year older, C.J. Abrams, you add Nathaniel Lowe, another good bat to your lineup. Josh Bell, you bring him back, another good bat to your lineup. They're going to be interesting. They will be feisty all year long. They will be interesting. They will be feisty. The big question is, though, how many wins does it ultimately turn into? Will they be a team on wild card watch throughout the year? And that's the big question. I'm excited to watch it. If Mackenzie Gore is going to give you what he gave you yesterday, I think you're going to exceed expectations from folks. Now, going up against Zach Wheeler, look, it's no easy feat. So I get why the bats were a little cold yesterday. You're going up against one of the dogs in Major League Baseball, but got to be happy about what you saw on opening day if you're a Washington Nationals fan. I mentioned yesterday was drama-filled. Big part of that is the Maryland Terrapins getting boat raced in the second half of the Sweet 16 game against Florida with Kevin Willard's job security really up in limbo. And I have heard all of my favorite personalities, all of my favorite media folks dish and weigh in on this situation. And I think everybody is coming from a fair point of view. That's the one thing I want to say. I think everyone's coming from a fair point of view because I get it. You want to put the kids first. You want to put the basketball first. But I always say this. As media members, we drive the narrative, especially here in D.C. with Sports Talk Radio. We drive the narrative. We drive the conversation. So, like, I don't really want to hear the fact that, oh, you know, Kevin Willard saying what he said at the podium is taking away from the game. We control what the hell we talk about, first and foremost. So if you want to talk about the game and give X's and O's analysis of what happened and what's been happening throughout the year, go ahead, feel free. Go ahead, feel free. You're welcome to do that. But I think if you're going to try and spew venom towards Kevin Willard, you have every right to do so. I just don't know where it comes from all the way. Like, I get it. But then I don't get it at the same time, if you pick up what I'm putting down. Because I think Kevin Willard was brutally honest at the podium. I think Kevin Willard shed tremendous insight on the shortcomings of the athletic department at the University of Maryland. Point blank, period. Kevin Willard got this group. See, don't lose sight of what he's done here. Just because there's rumor, and let's just call it what it is, rumor of him being in discussions, or his agent rather, being in discussions with Villanova. And can you blame him? There are levels to this, right? When it comes to the landscape of college basketball, Villanova is one of the blue blood programs in all of college basketball. If they're willing to throw him a big time bag, it's dog eat dog world, like I said, right? The pressure's now on Maryland. Can you sweeten the pot to where you can give Kevin an enticing enough offer to where he wants to stay? Because let's be real, Kevin Willard got this group and put together a Sweet 16 team with his hand tied behind his damn back. You cannot tell me that Maryland can compete financially with some of the other schools in the Big Ten, with some of the other schools across the landscape of college basketball. And it's not Kevin Willard's fault. He's a damn good coach. They were a really well-coached team. They battled. They fought. They played their ass off all year long. People want to act like it distracted the team. Hey, Kevin Willard going to the podium and airing out the athletic department, it didn't help or didn't stop or prevent Maryland from rebounding last night. You can't go and blame that. They got outboarded yesterday by 20-plus. That's not Kevin Willard's fault. You pick up what I'm putting down? So there are two separate discussions that I think needs to be had, right? If you want to talk about the season and give your thoughts on the season and what happened throughout the season and have a basketball-specific conversation, go ahead. But don't act as if this is some massive distraction for the players. The players understand what this is. This is the new age of college basketball. Every program throughout the country has to deal with this. So let's not act as if Kevin Willard is some sort of devil. That's my frustration with this. And look, I still think he wants to be here. I would be welcomed. I would be open to him staying here. I want him to stay here. I do. I think he's a good coach. I think for him to be able to land a cat like Derek Queen, when this program has struggled to keep homegrown talent home for years, I think he deserves an attaboy for that. Getting Rodney Rice and Jacoby Gillespie and Selton Miguel via the portal, I think he deserves an attaboy for that. He put together a hell of a roster with his hand tied behind his back. Do you get what I'm saying when I say that? He does not have the rev share or the financial resources that some of the other top programs in college basketball have. And I got to go to the 106.7 The Fan Instagram page. I don't remember the gentleman that was on earlier today with Grant and Danny. But I kind of took exception to what he said about the program. I think it was Scott Dutcherman thinks that Maryland could be a top 20 program and a top 4 to 5 program in the Big Ten with the right stability. He's selling them short. He's selling them short. You can say I'm being biased. You can say I'm being a homer. If Maryland had the resources that some of the other major programs had across the country, you wouldn't lose Cam Ward, who's right in your backyard, to Michigan State. You wouldn't lose Jordan Scott, who's right in your backyard, to Michigan State. Think about where this program resides. College Park, Maryland. Right in the center, right in the heart of one of the basketball hotbeds in high school in the entire country. Kevin Willard is fighting a bigger fight. You all can be as pissy as Kevin Willard as you want. The problem's going to remain whether Willard's the head coach or not, seemingly. People won't donate money. They can't compete financially. That is what it boils down to. And for Willard to be open and honest and transparent about that at the presser, good for him. He ain't lying. He didn't say anything wrong. That people want to act upset that he was talking to Villanova weeks ago. I could care less. It's the landscape of college basketball. And I get what people are saying. Keep it behind closed doors. There's a time and a place for everything. I think in this particular situation, he was right to air out the athletic department. He was. Because what the hell are they doing over there? Why is this the situation that they're in? Why are they so broke over there financially that they couldn't stay in New York an extra night, like Kevin Willard alluded to? Why is that the case for a program that has the potential to be a blue blood of college basketball, a powerhouse of college basketball? They have when Maryland's good and Xfinity's rocking, it's one of the best environments in the country. You're in the DMV, a basketball hotbed where talent oozes out of this place. And year in and year out, I watch local homegrown talent go other places. Hunter Dickinson entered the damn transfer portal from Michigan. Why? Because he wanted to come to Maryland. Why didn't he? Because they didn't have the funds. Point blank. So what Kevin Willard is speaking to, it's the difficulties and the challenges of this job, if we're going to be honest. So I think he deserves a ton of respect, a ton of kudos for what he's been able to accomplish in College Park, especially this past year. And yes, it should have been the main talking point. It was for me. But talking about Maryland basketball, what they've been doing for a month plus now. Started off 1-2 in conference play and ended up winning 17 games. This group has been an absolute treat to watch, and I do not agree with the notion that Kevin Willard in his job security, job situation, I don't think that takes away from how special of a season this was for the Terps. I don't think it does. Point blank. But now, whether Willard is the guy moving forward or not, the same issues face the program. Don't shoot the messenger. Kevin Willard told her how a T.I. is over at College Park. So I have a hard time being upset with him. 1-800-636-1067, the number. We're going to continue this conversation around the Maryland Terrapins and Kevin Willard as we ease our way into the 7 o'clock hour. Terps losers yesterday in the Sweet 16. Folks super angry about Kevin Willard's handling of his situation. When we come back, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, Kevin Willard, as he tried last night, as best as he could, to give answers to a feisty group of reporters who just wanted answers about what is next for Willard, as well as the program. That is next on The Fan. Just getting rolling right here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot to get to. It's been a crazy past 24 hours here in our nation's capital when it comes to the world of sports. We'll have a couple of guests stop by the program to chew on it with us all. Pal Chris Nocke, the color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball team, going to join us top of the 8 o'clock hour. He'll give his thoughts on what's going on with Kevin Willard and whether or not the coach is in the wrong for what's happened. We mentioned opening day. To start the show, Mark Zuckerman, Masson.com, going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, I want to get back into the Terps for a second, man. I continue to believe that maybe we're being a little bit too harsh on Kevin Willard, and here's why. I think this is the current state of college athletics. It happens all the time where guys talk to other schools while they're under contract. It's just the current landscape of the business. But The one thing that folks seem to be upset about is the timing of which Kevin Willard decided to air out pretty much the athletic department. And like I said at the start of the show, I think he was correct in what he said. Point blank. I think it is difficult, and he's been doing a tremendous job, but the job is hard at the University of Maryland because you don't have the resources that some of the other top programs in the country have. And the sad part about it to me is those lack of resources is why you're not a national championship contender every year. This is, and maybe I'm being biased, you can look at California maybe, Texas, Florida. This is New York maybe. It doesn't get much better in terms of high school basketball than the DMV. It is the premier tri-state area when it comes to high school basketball. And for years, this university continues to lose guys in their own backyard to other premier programs. At Cam Ward, the leading scorer all time in Maryland public school history, had him on Wednesday night. And he's going to Michigan State coming up this fall. We're coming up this summer. Jordan Scott out of Virginia coming to Michigan State this year, not Maryland. Why? For Cam, I can assume financially, maybe the package was just a little bit richer, right? There's stability in the athletic program. That doesn't exist at Maryland. It doesn't. And I think the lack of resources make this a difficult job when really it shouldn't be. Really, Maryland has the potential to be a national championship contender each and every year. It's just about, are the people that say they care about the program going to pour into the program? The Kevin Planks of the world. James Harden at Arizona State, right? James Harden's made millions in the NBA. He is donating boatloads of money to the NIL collective at Arizona State because he wants to see his alma mater win. That's what it's going to take. Donors, all of that. But I also think it's going to take a visionary, and maybe I'm being, maybe this is a pipe dream. Maybe it's not that simple of a situation, but I'm looking at it like, man, what can they do to get more money into the program? Because I think that's, if we're going to really look at it from a black and white situation, that's what it is. It's a financial issue. Kevin Willard feels as if he does not have the adequate resources to consistently win here. Maybe that's why he's talking to Villanova, a blue blood college basketball program. But I want your thoughts on this. 1-800-636-1067. Is Kevin Willard wrong for his handling of the situation at the University of Maryland? Wayne is in Bowie, wants to chime in. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, man. It's good to talk to you again, and thanks for having me on. You and I have had conversations in the past, and one of the most notable ones was over Taylor Heineke. You said one thing, I said another thing. But anyway, it's good to talk to you. Man, you're spot on. If in your position, you're a sports anchor guy there, you talk sports. But let's say ESPN comes calling you, or either NFL Network,
for sure,
and offered you a bag. Are you gonna stay where you are, or are you gonna leave?
So I get Wayne, I get the parallel that you're trying to draw. I don't think it's that simple because this is not a team sports environment. We're a team right here, yes, but everybody's got their own ulterior motives in individual, you know, motives of where they want to reach their own goals and things of that nature, as they should. So I get what you're saying. I see the parallel you're trying to draw. I don't think it's that simple. But my whole thing is I don't get this idea that it was some sort of major distraction this week for the team.
I'm with you. Because the bottom line, and plus it gives him leverage.
For
you
sure.
know, maybe it was bad timing, but like you said earlier, I've been listening to you for the last hour. He doesn't do any rebounding. You know,
exactly.
The team could not rebound, man. And they couldn't hit the ocean from the shore.
Yeah.
Because they act like they were not all year long. Those guys were popping threes from everywhere.
For sure.
But in this game, they couldn't hit nothing. And they didn't feed Queen and Reese. If they had a fed Queen underneath, like they
Well, if there's one thing you're going to be critical of Coach Willard for from a coaching perspective, I think that would be it, Wayne. We appreciate the call as always, our brother. Got to get to some other folks. But, yeah, like, that whole narrative kind of, I don't know. It's just, I just don't agree with it, is how I will put it. The idea that he stole a proud moment from the program. The moment still happened. I said it earlier to start the show, I'll say it again. We dictate the conversation here locally. So if you're upset that this has now become the main thing, we've made it the main thing. Look in the mirror. We've made it the main thing. I've been talking Maryland basketball since February. This is a great team they put together. And Kevin Willard's the architect of it. Don't get that lost in this at all. He did a masterful job in the portal. Like I said, with his hand tied behind his damn back. Because they don't have the NIL resources, the rev share resources that other programs have. Yet he got this group to a Sweet 16? And we're upset? We're upset that he's having... that his representation is having conversation with Villanova, who's trying to throw a sizable offer at him. And let's be real. I love Maryland basketball as much as the next man. Villanova is a better job than Maryland. Point blank, period. But you think about the tradition and history of that program, it's a better job than Maryland. It is. He'll have the resources there. He'll have Jay Wright as a mentor. Not to say that having Gary Williams as a mentor is bad. But I just don't agree with this notion that he took away from the spotlight of the team. That's not, I think if you feel that way, I feel like you're reading it the wrong way almost, man. I genuinely do. Kevin Willard astutely pointed out the shortcomings of the athletic department that's preventing him from getting this team to where he wants to get it to. Point blank. Maryland can't afford a damn bench. Point blank. The Crab Five was a tremendous story this year. Wasn't on purpose. Wasn't on purpose that they had zero bench production. But for him to go in the portal, be able to land the cats that he landed, Jacoby Gillespie, Rodney Rice, Selton Miguel, getting Garrett Queen to stay home, he deserves a ton of credit for that. And I think the program, whether he's there or not, is in a little bit of trouble if they're not going to be willing to kick out money to compete in athletics. Point blank. That's the current state of NIL. It's the current landscape of college basketball. Greg is in Upper Marlboro. Let's chime in. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, what's up, Youngest of Charge? How you doing? I agree with you wholeheartedly when you talk about the current state of basketball. College basketball, at least, it happens. I mean, the coaches have been doing that for years where they're negotiating with other teams while they're still in a championship hunt. So I'm not mad at that part. What I'm kind of mad about is just the timing. I'm going to be honest. I think his comments that day kind of threw everybody off, and then his subsequent comments the next day to go on radio stations, I think with Kevin Sheehan he was on, and he was telling Kevin Sheehan, yeah, I'm going to come back. And then to come out and
Greg, has he left
say
yet?
What he said. He hasn't left yet, but I think the silence is deafening because I think they're trying to play it now to where he can't. I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think he took the job. I agree with you. I think Villanova as a basketball, you know, job or a basketball school is a much better job for him in terms of his career and him trying to, you know, get all the resources so he can go in the portal and the facilities and whatnot. So I think it is a better job. And technically, I think he already took it. I think he's trying to save face now and just wait a few days before mm-hmm. he announces it, kind of considering, you know, the way they lost last night. And yes, technically he is still here, but I think the fact that he hasn't come out and said anything outside of what he said after the game last night, it just kind of speaks to his mind state. I've heard rumors, and of course they're rumors, you really don't want to believe them, But I've heard rumors about, you know, his wife not necessarily liking it here, maybe something being up with his kid. I even heard as far, maybe this is why I shouldn't go on social media, but even as far as when they had a team dinner the other night, he wasn't even present at the team dinner. Now, all that is debatable, right, because we're not in the room. We don't really understand what's going on. But I think the fact of the matter is he said nothing, and no one from the University of Maryland has said nothing. I think that kind of tells me everything it is I need to know. It's kind of sad that this is the state of Maryland basketball right now, especially considering the season that they had. But, I mean, this is just kind of where we're at. So, again, I'm not mad at him for looking at other job opportunities. No one takes a job to just be in that job for the rest of their life. Everyone does a job because you expect right. bigger and better things. So I support him in that regard because he has a family to take care of, married, children. Right,
let me ask this too. Let me ask this too before we let you go. I look at him as a hero, man. He went up on the podium and called out the athletic program that has not been willing to give the athletic coaches, program, sports there the proper resources to compete. Like there's a systemic issue there. There's a reason we can't keep local talent here. And in this NIL era, it's going to be even more difficult when big-time schools are offering a much bigger bag. And I get it's a dog-eat-dog world, like I said earlier, and they're wearing bacon pants. 1-800-636-1067. The whole wrong time, wrong place thing, like, I don't know. I get it, but, like, I don't at the same time because I don't think it impacted or took any spotlight away from the team. Because guess what? They still made it to the Sweet 16. The main thing is still the main thing. They had a phenomenal season. That's not going to get lost in any of this. This is just an asterisk next to it. Point blank. Now, whether you want to say it was wrong time or not, like, it's a fair argument to have. I get it. But what he said was spot on accurate and 110% truth. James is in Woodbridge. Wants to chime in. What's going on, James?
Yo, what's going on, Linnell? Good to speak to you, good brother.
What's going on, brother?
Yo, listen, I got to disagree with you. My man that was just on, I think he said some poignant points. My whole thing is, yo, when you win a tournament, when you in the flow of things, you don't change nothing. I don't know if I know you play sports. Everything is superstitious, man. You don't do anything to take the spotlight off of what that kid Queen did. You want them boys in the right mindset.
I'll let you continue, but just let me jump in here for a second.
Yeah.
This idea that this story has distracted the team is BS. It's 100% BS.
I think the story is the reason why they got out-rebounded
by 20-plus last night?
Hey, them boys was throwing the ball all over the court, turnovers.
Because they're in a Sweet 16 game that only two guys on their roster had played in before. Only two guys on their team had ever been in the tournament before.
They have played like composed, professionals all season.
Come on.
Round one, round two, very, very sharp, very solid. You had guys stepping up. Reese was on the line, shooting free throws like he was a 20-year vet. And then them boys get into the game last night and look like they.
I think that's just the pressure of playing in a Sweet 16 basketball game. I don't think that has to do with the Kevin Willard story.
I think I'm gonna say you're overthinking it, Linnell. It's definitely traumatic to hear your coach, who you committed to. It's a two-way street. I know everybody can leave when they want to, and coaches got the right to do what they want to do. It's just a matter of timing, bro. You could have let that all slide underneath, but he did what he did.
You got to think about it, though, James. Time is of the essence. You realize people are entering the portal and people are signing with new schools right now?
Absolutely.
So he's got to negotiate through
Maryland
the media because he needs a deal.
And Maryland's going to lose people going into that. All those people you said that should have been signing home, they was about to sign home because they had a program and a coach that believed in something.
Come on, James. I appreciate your call as always, brother. I just can't buy the notion that, like, it was some massive distraction and it took away and impacted the play of the team last night. Like, that is Homer excuse-making at its finest. Had nothing to do with how they played last night, in my opinion at least. They actually played pretty damn well last night. Florida is just a damn juggernaut out of the best conference in college basketball and one of the best individual seasons we've seen out of a conference in college basketball. That SEC was a juggernaut last year. They were just bigger and deeper than Maryland was last night. That's why they lost. They didn't lose because Kevin Willard said what he said at the podium. Like, I got to stop with that, man. Paul's in D.C. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Linnell? How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother.
Hey, Linnell, normally I'm with you. You my man, 50 grand, but you can't sit up here and make an excuse for Kevin Willard's time. Did he not know those things when at the beginning of the season? So why didn't he address that then? Did he not know those things right before the ACC tournament? So why didn't he address it then? He waited till he had a national profile going into the Sweet 16 to bring up his dirty laundry with the university. That's number one. And as a coach's son, you know my dad is Eddie Jordan, sure. So I know what I'm talking about in terms of not wanting no distractions before a big game. Why you think Bill Belichick don't talk about that stuff? He keep it strictly on the game. Why you think Tom Izzo said, I'm not addressing none of that stuff today. I'm strictly thinking about the game. Because you want your players, even if that's not the case, to still focus on the game. Once they heard all of that stuff about him going to Villanova and all of this other stuff, how do you know that they like, man, he already out? You don't know. We don't know. That's not a definitive thing that you can say nor that I can say. Number two, if he wants to go, leave. But you don't trust the university and their program on your way out so that the next coach might start asking.
Hey, but Paul, is he trashing them or is he being honest and transparent about the shortcomings?
Honest. He could be honest when he gets out the door. Leave. And then let them get their next coach. And then when people ask you why
he's going to have to deal with the same problems, right? The next coach.
Well, guess what? That's that coach's.
No, it's not that coach's issues, Paul. It's Maryland, the program's
issue. Okay, but Linnell, let me ask you one question. Uh-huh. Let me ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin Willard took this job, did he not say to everyone that the University of Maryland basketball job was one of the top 10 jobs in college basketball?
It is. He wasn't lying.
Well, that's what he said. Right. Okay. So if that is the case, why are you trashing it now?
Because I think there's a difference when you're on the outside of a program and then when you get behind the scenes and understand the inner workings of how things are done. I think your perspective changes, as it should have, because you're learning more about the program now that you're actually in it. Look, he's absolutely right to say this is one of the best jobs in the country. I say it is all the time because of where you are located. You are located in a hotbed for high school basketball talent. It is the best tri-state area, in my opinion. The DMV has the best high school hoops in all of the country. So, yeah, it is a top job. But when you get into the program and you understand the inner workings of what's going on and the lack of resources that are being provided, it makes sense why there has been a Sweet 16 drought. It makes sense why there has been a national championship drought. Paul, I think we've had this conversation before, Paul.
So let me ask you this. Why didn't he just address that behind closed doors with the university and say, hey, look, I need more resources? And then if they don't listen to him, just go ahead and make your move out the door. And then after you get the job of Villanova, wherever you go, and when the reporters ask you, why did you leave Maryland, which is the top 10 college basketball
job? I think he genuinely wants to stay, Paul.
Then stay. How you going to improve the – so now what about the players that's going to stay or what about the other people coming in? You just lost recruits. Because you said that the university is not committed to supporting the basketball program.
Paul, that's not exactly what he said. He said they need to show him that. He said they need to show him that they are committed.
How is it being received, though? How is it being received? It's not always what you say, but how is it being received?
It's being received how it should, but it's not. My thing is, I don't know the exact inner workings of the situation to where it's a situation where it can't be fixed between now in a year or two from now. You see what I'm saying?
I think
whoever takes the job, Paul, is going to deal with the same financial shortcomings, the same lack of resources, and it's going to make a job that has the potential to be a top 10 job in the country an undesirable job if you're not going to get help from your university.
One more, because I know you got to get the other side. Why do Tom Izzo not have that issue, and he doesn't necessarily always get five-star recruits?
Because I think he has been established at Michigan State so long and has built a culture and a program and an identity on how he's going to do things. People are going to Michigan State because they see the other players that have come out of Michigan State, and they look at how much of a winner he is.
So Kevin Weller couldn't have did that?
He has the chance to do it here. He does.
Okay. Okay.
But I think he's not going to be able to build a that's the point, Paul. He's not going to be able to build what Tom Izzo built at Michigan State without the financial resources in today's day and age in NIL and college basketball.
Well, I think University of Maryland is a better job than Villanova because they got their own arena.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fan base is great. And like you said, the DMV area is the – how do you think Villanova elevated their program?
For DMV talent, Paul. I know about it, brother.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you're not going to tell me that University of Maryland and schools like Georgetown are not desirable jobs. All you got to do is put in the effort and the work to get these young kids that's right here in the WAC, that's right here in the DCIAA. You know, my nephew is Quentin Cooper, and he plays for Coolidge, all-time leading scorer. You know, did Willard check him out?
I don't know. Look, he got Derek Queen to come here.
He's going to Hampton on a four-year scholarship. So, no, this is what I'm saying. So, I mean, like, it's a lot of talent in the DMV area.
For sure.
You just got to go get it, baby.
For sure. I appreciate the call, as always, Paul. 1-800-636-1067. I think it's a fascinating conversation. I want to switch gears on the conversation here for a second. When we come back, I want to let you hear from the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program, Kevin Willard. I also want to take calls and open up discussion on, would you accept him back? Would you welcome him back as the head coach of Maryland next year and beyond? Like, to me, that's a real conversation that needs to be had, because despite what rumors are out there, nothing's been signed. He's put pen to paper nowhere. It's not a situation where it's a done deal that he's gone. A lot of what's being talked about right now is speculative. Now, I heard JP earlier today say that, yeah, he heard from folks around the program that are plugged into the situation that he's been talking to Villanova for weeks. His agent probably has been talking to Villanova. I don't have a problem with that, because that's the state of college basketball. That's just what it is. That just is what it is. Now, if you want to make the argument about the timing of it, like, I hear you on that. I don't necessarily agree with it, that he's taking the shine away. I think he's a guy that, and maybe I'm being naive about it, I think he was being genuine and heartfelt in what he said about wanting to be here and build this thing into a sustained winner, to where it's not us throwing a party because they're in a Sweet 16. It should be something that we expect from this program. The place has got that type of potential, in my opinion. I fully believe that. But whether it's Kevin Willard as the head coach, whether it's me as the head coach, whoever's going to come in there and be the guy, they're going to deal with these same shortcomings. And I go back to this year. Y'all are slamming the guy, but look at what he did this year. Sweet 16 appearance. Kept a marquee homegrown talent at home. Two guys. Actually, if you want to be real, even though Rodney Rice took a year off, but like, he's a guy that's from Suitland. We don't get the home talent to stay here, and I think he showed in pretty short time he could do that. And he maneuvered properly in the portal. And he got this roster competitive to where they were a Sweet 16 team this year. But I think moving forward, the challenges that Kevin Willard brought up in his press conference, whether you like how we did it or not, are valid. And moving forward, there is going to have to be some honest conversations inside of the walls of College Park. With Mike Loxley, with whoever the basketball coach is going to be. Like, that's real. And there has been AD head coach power struggles for years in this program. For years. So, like, it's not new. I just think people are, and rightfully so. I'm not saying anyone's wrong for how they feel. I just don't necessarily agree with it all the way. How he handled it. Yes, there is discussion to be had about, yeah, maybe he could have waited till season's end. But I continue to contest that, man, that maybe at that point it would have been too late. If you're in the midst of negotiations with a team, he said that they put an offer sheet on his table or on his desk during the Big Ten tournament. So if you're Kevin Willard, this is a business, people. Remember that. You don't just sign it because they put it on your table. There are demands and negotiations that need to happen, and there are things that Kevin Willard was trying to fight for this program That's what's getting lost in all this. And it's pissing me off, honestly. Like, I don't get it. I do get it. I get the frustration. I do. People are, if that's the hill that, if that's where you, the fight that you want to fight, like, I understand that. Like, the timing of it, okay. But the premise is, it is what it is. This is what happens in the current state of college athletics. Point blank, period. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. We'll let you hear from Kevin Willard. Plus, we'll take your calls, and I'll answer the question. Would you accept him back in College Park? Is it already over when it comes to Kevin Willard being the head coach of the Terps? We'll continue to chew on this next. You're this fan. Whole lot more to get to here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock in about 20 minutes or so. About Chris Snocky, the color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball team, going to join us right here on Overtime. And can't wait to pepper him with some of the questions that I've been peppered with. But it has been a super eventful past 24 hours, really past 2 weeks for the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program, as Kevin Willard and his future with the program is very much in limbo right now, man. I want to let you hear from the head coach of the Terps, Kevin Willard. He was very open, honest, and transparent once again last night after the team's Sweet 16 loss. Here is Kevin Willard. Just cut one for you, Metal Chris. This is Kevin Willard on his future with the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program.
Having coached this group, and the follow-up would be, are you, what is your future in terms of returning to College Park? Have you made a decision whether or not you'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed coaching this basketball team. They from the time they stepped on campus in June, they've just been so much fun to coach, and to kind of see them kind of grow together, have the wins we had on the road, have some of the toughest losses that I've ever dealt with, buzzer beaters, and to overcome that was huge for me. It was one of those things. It was just a whole lot of fun. The staff said it the other day. It was just kind of, there's so much fun to be around, and they accomplished a lot. You know, it's in today's world of trying to put together a roster in, you know, 3 weeks, these guys all made great strides. And again, the only two guys ever played in an NCAA tournament before was Julian and Jordan. So for those guys to, you know, be great leaders, and for us to get to the Sweet 16, I think it shows you how good a group of kids they were.
Well, Kevin Willard, I mean, that's what the description on the cut says, is Kevin Willard on his future. Look, I think, first and foremost, I don't know, and maybe I'm going to, I hope I'm not rubbing anybody the wrong way with how I feel about this. I'm just telling how a T.I. is and how I look at the situation. I think he's a stand-up dude, man. I do. I really do. I think he's navigating a super difficult situation where there really is no winner in terms of the program, because whether he stays or goes, there are some real challenges facing this group moving forward. There just are. Like, to me, the venom that's been kind of spewed towards him over the past 48 hours or so, don't know how fair it actually is, but I appreciate him last night spending the time that he spent at the podium. Here is Kevin Willard last night being honest, saying, look, I haven't really talked to anyone yet at this point, because guess what? He hasn't.
So I have not even, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent.
Hold on, Chris. Can we stop that right there? He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know if he's staying. He doesn't know if he's going. Can you appreciate the honesty from him? Let's keep it rolling.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. I have an agent. I'm sure he's talking to people, because that's what agents like to do. But, you know, I don't know.
And that's the one thing that I want to harp on here. I believe him when he say he hasn't talked to anyone. His agent has, though. That's the job of an agent. Point blank. If you have an agent, like, it's that type of situation. I'm going to use the sports radio world. If I had an agent and I was under contract here at the station, I would want my agent to be looking for better opportunities for me. That's what you pay a damn agent for, literally. So, like, get your panties out of a wad if you're upset about him talking to Villanova. It's the state of college basketball, and your ass would do it too. Kevin Willard on, is there anything Maryland can do to keep him?
Just follow up to that. Is there something at this juncture you think Maryland can do to bring you back?
Right now, my biggest concerns in life right now, you know, I don't know who my boss is going to be. It's the guy that brought me here, who I really liked and appreciative of him bringing me to College Park, is not here anymore. And I don't know who we're going to hire. And that's, as in today's day and age, that worries me a little bit, just to be, I'm just being honest. My honesty got me in trouble. Might as well keep getting me in trouble. So this is going to be a family decision. I love College Park. I love Maryland, you know, but there's, when you're at this point in your career and you're looking at things, I have to take everything into consideration about what's going moving forward. But I have not even talked to anybody, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Kevin Willard, open, honest, transparent. It's the best way that I can describe him. I think he deserves, to say he deserves a ton of credit, I guess I would sound like I'm full of crap. But I just think, and maybe I'm viewing it different because it's just my way of thinking on it. I think what he did at the podium, what he said was correct the other day. What he said was correct, man. There are shortcomings that the basketball program has financially that could prevent them from competing and being a sustained winner. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Would you welcome Kevin Willard back to College Park? We'll take your calls on that next. One 800-636-1067 is how you reach me. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. The August and Charles and L. Willingham with you on a Friday night. Trying to make sense out of what's happened with the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program. Per usual, I feel like I'm on the opposite side of everyone else. Not really, though. I heard Kevin Sheehan earlier today. I heard Craig Hoffman earlier today. So there are some folks that are looking at this from a different perspective. It's been interesting. I love when we all get to dish on something and everyone gets to just lay it all out and tell how they really feel, man. It's awesome. I think it makes for great conversation. I love engaging with you all on the phones with it, but, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough. I feel for the players a little bit, you know? Like, there is something to be said about this being a quote-unquote distraction. I think it may have been a distraction for a day. And then when it's time to look at the scouting report and play basketball, who the hell cares where Kevin Willard's going next year? This team won't be the same next year. So that's just how I look at it, man. I get Kevin Willard and what he is trying to do. Whether you all want to believe it or not, I think he's trying to put the Maryland men's basketball program in a better place than he found it. I genuinely believe that. I think he's trying to put this program in a better place than he found it. I think he is genuinely fighting and advocating for improvements to be made so that they can be a sustained winner. This all started before their round of 32 matchup versus Colorado State. I want to let you hear from Kevin Willard on that evening. Here is Kevin Willard on what needs to be in the contract that he is going to sign to stay at Maryland.
I mean, I don't think anyone listens to me. If you're in my household, my wife doesn't listen to me. My kids don't listen to me. My dog does. I didn't say anything that's false. I just wanted to make, I had the same conversation with these guys. This is what's going on. My job to the University of Maryland, to our season ticket holders, to my donors, is to try to make this program the best it can be. And I live it, eat it, sleep it every day. I get in the office every day around 6 o'clock. I don't leave until they leave. So this is my life. This is my, you know, I'm 49 years old. I want to be coaching for another 15 years. So my job is my passion. And if something's not better and I have an opportunity to make it better, I'm going to make it better. And the really only way to do it in college athletics is put it in your contract. Because if not, they're going to lie to you.
Is he lying? No. So Kevin Willard wants some fundamental changes to be made to this program. In order to guarantee that, it's got to be in his contract. So if Maryland isn't willing to meet his demands in terms of what he is asking for the program, and Villanova is, do you see why he would leave? Are you still spewing venom at him? Kevin Willard on wanting more control in the University of Maryland men's basketball program.
I also have to make a fundamental change where I can do the things that I want to do with my program. You know, I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. So I don't know how we can be a top-tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive. So there's fundamental things I'm fighting for my team and my program. It's not so much about me. I want to make sure that whatever we do going forward, we're successful and we're successful at the highest rate.
Can you blame him for that? That's why I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why everyone was so upset about these comments. This is what people are upset about. He's not lying. If they're going to be a sustained winner, there are things they have to change within the program. He's not wrong about that. And most of those things are financial, as he alluded to. You're a team in a program that just made it to the damn Sweet 16. In New York? Seriously? Is that skinny? On cash as a program?
And New York is an expensive town.
I could give a damn. They're a basketball program. Like, millions of dollars get pumped into this thing per year. Kevin Willard on needing fundamental change within this organization.
Damon's talked to my agent. I talked to Damon this morning at length about where we are. Obviously, it's difficult right now because I think we know his situation. He's probably going to SMU, so it's kind of tough to negotiate with somebody that's maybe not here. But I need to make fundamental changes to the program. That's what I'm focused on right now. That's why probably a deal hasn't got done, because I need to see fundamental changes done. I want this program to be great. I want it to be the best in the country. I want to win a national championship, but there's things that need to change. When you're at a place for 3 years, and you put your heart and soul into it, you kind of say, sit there and say, okay, wait a second, for us to be really successful, X, Y, and Z needs to change. And first and foremost, I need to make sure that we are where we are with NIL and rev share is not where we've been with NIL in the past 2 years. We've been one of the worst, if not lowest, in the NIL in the last 2 years.
It's hard to compete when those are the circumstances you're dealing with, which is why I said, for him to be able to put together a Sweet 16 team with his hand tied behind his back deserves some kudos. 1-800-636-1067. This is from Kevin Willard last night, expounding upon his thoughts on the university's NIL. Cut number 8.
Times people demand that public figures be honest, and then when they are honest, to your point, sometimes you get in trouble. Say when you guys left the team hotel, there were some fans that voiced their displeasure. Does that make you think at all about, do you want to be at Maryland?
Not at all. I got my guy. We would not be in the Sweet 16 if it wasn't for Harvey Sanders. Harvey Sanders runs our collective, does all the fundraising.
has been instrumental in getting us back to where we are. And Hard gave me the biggest hug. So he matters. I understand fans are going to be pissed because I'm in limbo and this and that. And I get it. Like, I'm kind of pissed, to be honest with you, because I didn't expect to be in this situation. But
it's a messy situation. And I understand where he's coming from wholeheartedly. I don't think he's a villain in this situation. I think he's trying to be a pioneer. We'll see whether it's him staying here at Maryland or whether the next head coach can get some of those fundamental changes that Willard's talking about, because he's not lying. This isn't about Kevin Willard trying to fatten his pocket and raise his paycheck. That's a part of it because he brought this group to the damn Sweet 16. He deserves a raise. But what he is fighting for is the resources necessary to be a sustained winner in the landscape of college basketball. Little wants to chime in. What's going on, Little? Little.
Hey, what's up, big fella? What's up, man?
What's going on?
Sorry, man. I heard you bringing them sound bites. Shout out to Metal, man. Look, man, I'm gonna keep it real with you. Now, I hear everything you're saying. Man, Willard, man, ain't no coach, man. Man, I look at five situations, man. I'm going to play it back to you. Man, you put your big fellas at half court, man. You just stop the heave. You tell one of your big men to stay up and take the charge. Come on, Linnell. You feed your big man in the game against Florida till they stop it. He played a hell of a first half.
Yeah, you watched Julian Reese last night. He can't go over his damn right shoulder. He can't go over his right shoulder. You watched it, Little.
Don't cut me off. That's why you got Queen. And then number one.
Queen, how many layups did Derrick Queen miss last night?
When you're struggling with rebound, you put Geronimo in and you say your job is nothing but to get the rebound. You bring Miguel off the bench. He never switched up, man. Big fella.
They don't have any depth switch up.
I'm
going to
say one more thing. I'm going to get off the line, but somebody please reach out to Davey Johnson and tell him stop pulling his pictures, man, until they get in trouble.
Davey Martinez, Little. Appreciate the call, as always. Jason is in Capitol Heights. What's going on, Jason?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother. How you doing?
Yes, sir. To your point, I don't think the issue is what he said, because I think he was telling the truth. I think it's when he said it. You know, you're still in the tournament. You're still alive. Why is that the time to bring up, you know, the issues that you have? I guess you have the leverage to where you can bring it up, but I don't think that's the most beneficial time to do it.
Well, when you're negotiating, when they put an offer, when David Evans puts an offer sheet on your table during the Big Ten tournament, and then he's gone before your round of 32 game, what the hell is he supposed to do? He's in no man's land, Jason. Who the hell is he negotiating with?
I mean, he'll negotiate with whoever he needs to.
I hear you.
You know, they're going to fill that position, right?
Right, so, but, like, he wants them to fill it with someone that's going to be able to help him fight the fight that he's trying to fight. That's how
Didn't he acknowledge somebody that I forgot the NIL collective's name. Yeah,
but that's not the AD, though. That's just the head of the fundraising in the collective fund, which is the big problem.
Right, but it almost seemed like he was advocating that he becomes the AD.
I don't know if that person's qualified to be the AD, Jason.
Okay.
And I genuinely don't know, so I'm not being funny about it. But
yes, sir. No problem.
I don't know. I hear where he's coming from. I think people have been a little too hard on him, in my opinion.
I got you.
In terms of how he's been talked about.
I get it.
Because he's done a great damn job here.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he has that Villanova offer.
So, for sure.
Because Jason, he's done a great job.
For sure. So. Appreciate you as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend, my man.
Yes, sir. And I enjoy listening to you, man. And keep doing your thing, man.
For sure. 1-800-636-1067. Chris Nocke, color analyst for the Maryland men's basketball program, joins us next.